continue, let's just have a time of prayer. So we've been doing this every once in a while. If you have any prayer requests or any praise reports, anything that's been really cool and amazing that you're experiencing, please feel to share, or anything that you want the church to pray for together. Anyone? Sorry? Eugenia has a new job, yes. Yeah, she wrote an email to everyone but me about it. I was like, very nice of her to forget about her pastor, thanks. But congratulations. You're starting not this week, but the week after. 17. Yeah. 17, yes. Okay. So anyone else? We prayed for Eugenia's job like about a month ago, so it's pretty cool. You good? Alright, cool. Let's move on. Let's pray a prayer of thanks for Eugenia's job. Also, I just want us to pray for our EM and RTM as well as a church. If you guys just pray for a prayer of blessing for TAPC. I know Pastor Lai is coming back this week. I think it's the next week, actually. So he's still in Taiwan. So if you guys pray for that. And then Elder Steve, he's actually traveling, I think, this morning. He's going to Montreal, I think. He told me yesterday. And so if you could just pray for his safe travel as well. Okay, let's pray together, and then I'll close in prayer for us. Let's pray. I just want to thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for blessing us with this place, this community for us to share in this time of worship. We just want to pray for all the prayer requests, oh God, that we might have, but we didn't share. Lord, you are a God who is all-knowing, and so can you move in those areas? We want to thank you so much for answering our prayers, considering our sister Eugenia, just providing a great place for her. We just ask, oh God, it'll be a place of just new opportunities, blessings. Well, she'll meet great people, and she'll also be a person of influence there. And lastly, God, we just want to pray for our church. We just want to ask that you help us to continue to grow in you, become a church that really follows after your heart. And we ask for your blessing upon our EM as well as the TM, and that you allow us to truly be one family in you, and that we'll learn to truly love each other and grow and to walk together as brothers and sisters. And so, Lord, we ask for multiple blessings of God. As we just proceed into the time of word, God, allow our hearts and our minds to be open to you, and we ask the Spirit will lead and guide this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right. Before I get started, I just have a quick question for you guys. I just want you guys to guess. Do you guys know what I hate the most about being a pastor? What do I hate doing the most as a pastor? Any guesses? Person who guessed it right, I'll take you guys out to lunch or dinner. Whatever your preference. What does Pastor David hate the most about being a pastor? Abby knows the answer, so Abby cannot tell other people, I think. Any guesses? Yes, Christy. Being a good example. Oh, I hate that too. I never thought of that. But not today. Yes. That's not what I was thinking about. Yes, Jonathan. I'm sorry? Standing up. Oh, yeah. Always tired. I feel like I can't sit down because people are watching. Good guess. Eugenia?
Last minute, actually,
just speaking. Oh, that happened yesterday. Kind of don't like that, but it's okay. I'm used to it. Good guess. Someone else? Lolly, did you have your hand up? No? You sure? Diego. Always praying for dinner? Praying for dinner? Pray? Oh, okay, you just say things over and over again. It's okay. Anyone else? Three guesses here. Wow. It just means no one wants to have lunch or dinner with me. That's what it means. Yes, Eugenia. Eugenia really wants to have lunch or dinner with me. That's what it means. Yes?
Pray for people you do not like.
People. Oh, okay. I didn't think about that either. Okay. No, that's not what I was thinking about either. Okay, one last guess, Jonathan. Pay for dinner? No. You're too smart. No. Number one thing I hate the most about being a pastor is oftentimes I have to do counseling sessions. No problem. I like talking and listening. But I hate talking about relationships with people. The reason why I hate it is like, I love it. I personally love it. It's just, as a pastor, you're trying to listen, and oftentimes it's very long when it's about relationships, and they never ever listen to you. Ever. Ever. You know, has anyone ever given advice to one of their friends about love? They never ever listen to you. The only reason why they're sharing is they want to share. Two, they want to hear what they want to hear. And so, man, if I count all the hours where I could have probably gotten another master's degree by now, if I just, oh my gosh, so many hours just sitting there and like, yes, yes, you care and you share what you think is the most amazing advice you would ever given, which is true, most amazing advice, and they never listen to you, ever. And so, that is number one thing I don't enjoy, but that doesn't mean that I don't want to listen to your love stories. I fake really well, so I'll pretend that I enjoy. Eugenia was sharing about her love life yesterday a little bit. So Eugenia, you know what I was thinking at that time. She's never going to listen to me. She's going to do whatever she wants to do. But today, actually, the reason why I brought it up is today, the topic that I'm talking about is probably maybe the second least favorite topic for me to share, which is about forgiveness, which I'm going to share about next 3 weeks. Is again, the reason why I don't like it is because it's such a tough subject for me to share, because it has a lot to do with me, and God always speaks to me. And it's a very challenging subject for anyone to listen to, because it's usually very, very deep within our hearts. You know, when we're talking about forgiveness, it's not just some stranger that we have to forgive. And there's people we often care the most about, people who used to be close to us. And the pain that they often inflict are not just a little bit of pain. It's like deep-rooted pain. But I truly believe that if we want to be a great church, if you want to be a great Christian, this is something that we cannot run away from. You know? If you have a broken relationship, I think at a certain point in your life, you have to cross that road in order for you to go on to the next place that God has in store for us. And so, with that in mind, I felt very, very strongly that God was leading me to share the following series of messages. If I don't see some of you guys next week, I know what's going on. You don't want to hear about it anymore. But it's okay. God will speak to your heart. And so, I really want to challenge us just to have an open heart. And I really believe that God will speak to each and every single one of us. And as a church, I think there's a lot that we can learn from as well. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 5. I picked this passage out of all the other passages because I think it really speaks to what we're going to talk about today, which is that forgiveness is not just about you and that person or you and that group of people, but it's about you and God first and foremost. And that's why it is instrumental for any Christian to deal with it head on. And you cannot bury it and pretend that it's not there anymore. Verse 21, let me read it for us. It goes like this. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Amen. Now here is from Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. It's a very, very famous passage. And it's specifically talking about anger. And I think anger and forgiveness and hurts are tied together. Sometimes even when we don't want to admit it, it is. The passage that I really want us to focus on is this, verse 23. If you could go there again. Verse 23 says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And here, the gift and offering that we're talking about is something that is directly related to you and God. And so, offering here is not just talking about the offering that we do every Sunday, the money offering, whatever you guys do, right? It's about worship and service. And so, before, you know, you come, and for most Christians, right, we go to church every Sunday, so at least once a week, it says, when you're offering and you're giving service to God, and you know that there's a broken relationship between you and somebody that you know, in this specific case, brother means another Christian, right? God is specifically instructing you, saying, look, don't come and offer that. First be reconciled. Deal with that first and come back. Why? Well, your offering and how he accepts it is directly correlated to your relationship with your brother and sister. Right? Now, one thing that we have to remind ourselves about God is that he desires worship and service. He desires offering. And for him, this is a very, very important thing. You know? What's the purpose of life? I mean, many, many Christians would say is to worship and honor God. That's the whole purpose of life, right? And so if God is telling you, even when you're offering that, thinking about how significant it is, offering is for him, he's saying, look, don't do that. Because there is something that's going to hinder the way I receive that offering when you have a broken relationship. He is telling you how important this thing is. And he's not just saying, oh, you know, if you feel like it. You know, it's kind of important. You know, he's saying, it's very, 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 very important. So imagine with me, you know, I don't know about you guys, but there are times, even as a pastor, there are people that I don't like. You know, it's really hard, but I try not to, but sometimes there are. They're just horrible people, so what can we say, right? And so I have a broken relationship. I mean, I go to church how many times a week? You know, I have to be here all the time. I was here like 6 days out of 7 days. A lot of days, right? You know, most churches have multiple services. And you just think about that. You know, there are times where I held grudge and unforgiveness in my heart for a number of years. People who were very, very close to me. Now, is God saying, like, you just suck, David? Like, what are you doing? No, I don't think so. But I think what he's telling me is that if you just kept it like that for a number of years, there was a disconnect between your worship to me. There was a disconnect between how I was receiving it, because it is very, very important. There's something about unforgiveness and broken relationship that hinders us when we worship God. It really does. It's really, really different, right? It's really, really difficult, and it's just different for us to kind of hear. Lord's Prayer, we all know Lord's Prayer, right? Part of Lord's Prayer, we're supposed to pray that all the time. It's like an example of the ultimate prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus taught when his disciples specifically asked, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? Because there's something about you that is different when you pray. You know? And in that Lord's Prayer, one of the phrases that we say all the time is what? Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's a direct correlation between how we forgive and how God forgives our sin. I don't know how exactly, but at the very least we see that. It is very, 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 very significant. It's not just about you and that person. You know, I've had people where we have a broken relationship and we're just in different parts of the world, or just different circles. And so I don't see that person anymore. And so, you know, what's amazing about time, there's a saying, right? Time heals all. I don't agree with that, but I think time does tend to numb things, and so it's not as, you know, like, passionate and so full of rage for you anymore. You know, after like 2 years, it's not there anymore, but man, what's lingering on the surface is still there. It's just different form. And so, you know, I've had moments where, yeah, I don't see this person, we go to different church or whatever, he's not or she's not part of my life, I could just move on with my life, right? Well, here the Bible makes it clear that no, I can't move on, because I might never see that person again, but man, I'm a Christian, right? I love God. And God's saying, look, it directly correlates to my relationship with you. So before we talk about like inner hurts and all those things, first and foremost, it's about you and God. Now, next week, we're going to talk a lot about, I think, heart and how important I think heart is for me. For example, I think we live in a world where we're really, really good if you're physically ill. Like if I have a broken arm right now, I think you guys would call 911 and we would go to the emergency room and make sure that I would be physically well. You know? If I'm really, really sick, I'm going to go to the hospital. Someone will notice, because physical hurts are oftentimes a little bit more easier to see than emotional hurts, right? But we also live in a world where if you're emotionally hurt, it's like you're trained all your life, especially if you're a guy or Asian, not to express your feelings. You learn to say things like, you know what, it's not a big deal. I'm okay. Two phrases I really don't like. It's not a big deal, I'm okay. It's really okay if you're really okay, but oftentimes people show in other ways that they're not okay and that it is a big deal, right? And, you know, have you guys ever been there where you're so emotionally hurt that you are physically ill? I've been there. It's not because I'm really emotional. I'm a normal human being, but it hurts. It affects your life. And yet, we tell ourselves, you know, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We never receive counseling. We never try to deal with it head on. If I have a broken arm, if I just leave it the way it is it not going to mend itself? Yeah, it will, but it's going to be deformed, right? It's going to lose its function. It's not going to be the way it was supposed to be. Just like that, I think when we don't deal with heart issues, yeah, after a while, it'll mend, but it's going to be deformed. It's not going to be the way it was supposed to be. And the way you love, the way you relate with God, it's not the way it's supposed to be. There's barriers. And you can't use, your heart's not going to function the way it was supposed to be. It's very important. I truly, truly believe that churches are full of people that are hurting. And God, His ultimate desire is to be the healer. The only problem is people are just absolutely refusing to show their hurts and show their weaknesses, because church is a hard place to show a weakness to. Because everyone looks perfect. You know, Nemo looks good, everyone looks good. I mean, come on, I don't want to be the one who shows like my weakness, because no one else can be like me. And this is where I think testimonies are so powerful, because when somebody shares about their brokenness, all of a sudden everyone's like, hey, what? I'm not the only one. You know? She's like that. I'm like that too. And walls become lower and lower, right? And so I think this subject in multiple levels is very, very important. Now, there are three ways I think our unforgiveness directly correlates to our relationship with God. And so I'm going to just take out from a scripture. And so I just want to share these three. I don't think it's everything. I don't think it's the absolute truth, but three things for us to think about. And then I'll just share another one at the end. And then I'll share my personal story, okay? So here's the thing. Number one, I think our forgiveness is connected to God's forgiveness for us. Okay, so Lord's Prayer, forgive our debts as you forgive our debtors, right? Does everyone know that story where Jesus is talking to Peter and Peter asks Jesus, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? Anyone? Raise your hand if you know that story. How many times does he say, like, should I forgive my brother? So Jesus says 70 times 7. Peter says, can I forgive my brother 7 times, right? And so he has this whole interaction with Jesus, you know? Peter's probably thinking, like, I'm such a great person, I'm going to forgive somebody 7 times. And Jesus says 70 times 7. Basically, unlimited. They get unlimited lives. They could you need to forgive over and over and over and over and over again. And with that, he shares a story. And basically, he says, it's like this. Okay, God has forgiven you of everything, and so it's just so petty for you to not be forgiving of people around you for things that are so, so small. And so he shares a story about this king, right? He has a servant, and the servant had a huge debt, like millions of dollars of debt. There's no way in the world he would ever be able to pay it back. There's no way. You could work all your life, sell all everything that you have. There's no way. And so he says, look, you know what? Because I feel sorry for you, I'm going to forgive you of that debt, right? And so the servant's like, oh, heck yeah, today's my lucky day. And so he's super happy, and he leaves that place, and he sees another friend, right? And that friend owes him like $20. $20! Like, I have $20. I'll give you $20. You know, you don't have to get mad at him. $20! And this guy who's just been forgiven of all these things, he's so upset about the $20, he takes him to court and gets him jailed. And this king hears about it, and he says, you know what? What kind of people are you? What the heck? I just forgave you of all this debt, amount of money that you would never be able to pay back, and you're going to send your own friend to the jail for $20? So Jesus shares that story and says, you know, this is you and me and God and just how you relate to people. And so I can't tell you exactly how it works, but one thing is for sure, when you have unforgiveness in your heart, the way God looks at you and your sins, and when you repent, when you seek forgiveness, there is a disconnect. And there are going to be things that God's going to tell you and says, you know what? I'm having a tough time forgiving you because you are unwilling to forgive somebody for such little things. When I'm willing to give up my own son for you. It's something for us to think about. Our forgiveness is connected to God's forgiveness for us. And I don't know about you guys, I need forgiveness every day. I need God's grace every day. Every day, I need renewed grace, renewed blessing. It allows me to wake up and not be too ashamed of who I am. It gives me the strength. It gives me the strength to stand here and share about Jesus with you guys. When I know my life is not perfect. You know, it gives me the strength to go on when the enemy all the time is trying to attack me and tell me how unqualified I am, how imperfect I am. You need the grace of Christ every day. And it is difficult to truly receive all that, I think, when you have much unforgiveness in your life. The second reason why we need to forgive, and God says our relationship is connected, is when we don't forgive, sin is crouching at the door. Do you guys all remember the story in Genesis? Cain and Abel? You know those two people? Cain and Abel? Who's a good person? Abel! Abel is a good person. Cain, not so good. Okay, Cain and Abel. Okay? So, they both bring an offering to God. They're brothers, by the way. And God accepts Abel's offering. We're not sure exactly. People have theories. And he rejects Cain's. And Cain is so upset by that. I don't know why. Maybe because he's an older brother and he has pride. But he's just really, really upset. And so, in that moment, God comes to him and says, look, if you did what's right, then I would have accepted it. So, you know, don't be angry. Don't be angry at Abel. Don't be jealous. And he says, look, sin is crouching at the door at that moment. And you have a choice right now to turn either way. And I think this is a really, really, I think a key point for Christians to understand. The enemy is constantly trying to attack us. Let me just tell you, as a Christian, as a pastor, I believe that once you're a Christian, you're safe for the rest of your life. Okay? So your salvation is good. They can't touch that. And so if you're an enemy of God, right? If you're Satan, and you're trying to attack church and Christians, what's the next best thing you could do besides deterring them from believing in Jesus Christ and receiving salvation? Next best thing you could do is to just jack up their lives so that they'll be absolutely purposeless, worthless life. Like, because God has great purpose and meaning for each of us, right? And He wants us to impact the world for Him. And so the best thing He wants to do is just mess you up, get you all confused about who you are in the world, and make sure that you cannot live any kind of life that is effective in God's kingdom. And so He's always lying to you. That's why He's the ultimate liar. And so He's going to come. Sin is going to be crouching at the door. And so when you have unforgiveness in your heart, I think sin is crouching at the door. You're aligning in an enemy to have a place where he can whisper things into you. I don't know about you guys, but I've been at moments where I was going to have a conversation to try to restore a relationship, reconcile. Man, it is the toughest moments. In your mind, you're going through all these things. And the hardest thing for me, in my experience, is not the conversation itself. It's the moments right before. Because in my heart, in my mind, there's constant whisper saying, you know what? He did that to you. You're going to forgive him? Why would you apologize? It's not even your fault. All these whispers, you know? And just everything in my heart is like, yeah, wow, why am I apologizing? I'm a pastor. You don't forget that, you know? He should apologize to me. I really didn't do anything. It's like maybe 85% my fault, and 50, but it was 15% his fault. Like, what was up with that, you know? It gets twisted. And so, you know, the toughest moments for me was always like the days before where I'm supposed to meet this guy or this woman and we're going to talk it out with, you know, different people there. But, man, they're constant whispers and it's an internal struggle. And I would feel like there's lies being spread about what's going on because sin is crouching at my door. And it wants me to harden my heart, harbor anger, harbor bitterness, live like that, treat people like that. And so I think this is really, really important. It might not be directly correlated to your relationship with God at that moment, but God is saying, look, you're allowing room for Satan to move. And he's going to speak lies to you, and eventually, everyone's going to fall. And so, you want to get things out from your heart. It's a pure place. It's a place where God wants us to just make sure it's right and it's beautiful before him. It says, don't leave room for junk in there. And the third way our relationship with God is directly related to our forgiveness or unforgiveness in our hearts. I think God makes it clear, the way we love in this world is connected to the way we love God. I shared before, 1 John is one of the hardest books for me to read because it is so challenging. Let me just share a few verses from there. It says this, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Okay, God, well, that's not too subtle there. Okay, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Right? Last one is kind of really, really hard. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's like in your face. You know, he says, I love God. And God straight up says, no, you don't love me. Because it is impossible for you to love somebody that you cannot see when you are having a tough time loving somebody that you could see. You know? Well, there you go. It says, how you love, how you hate, has to do with how you love and how you are devoted to me. It is very, 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 very important. You know, you guys all know the story of the prodigal son, right? There's a younger son, older son. He takes all the money and wastes it, and then comes back. But before he's able to come back, it says he came to his senses. Everyone comes to their senses sometime, right? It might take them 20 years or 30 years or after all the things, but he came to his senses. But he wants to go back, right? But he has a problem. His problem is he's not sure if his dad will ever accept him, because in his mind, in his human logical mind, there's no way that somebody will forgive him for what he has done, which is basically, you know what, Dad, I wish you were dead already so I could have the inheritance and go on my way. And so he is devising a way for him to go back. And he's thinking, okay, I'll say I'm not your son anymore, but I'll be your servant. And so he is coming up with like a perfect apology, right? And so in his apology, he says two things. He says, Dad, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. Okay? He says, I have sinned against heaven, I have sinned against you. And so I think that's something for us to really keep in mind. When there is sin, when there's broken relationships, it's not just what happened between that person. There's something about it that says, look, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against whoever I did. God is involved. God is absolutely involved. And as people that love God, I really want to encourage you guys to open up your hearts. You know, and this is just a really, really difficult topic, because who knows what you've gone through? Who knows what you are going through right now? And so I don't want to make a pastor statement and say, you know what, oh, come on, what's up? Let's do this. I'm going to pray, everyone, perfect place, okay? We're not going to talk about this forever, you know? I don't think that's what God's doing either. Now, let me just share a little bit of my story. I shared a little bit during my trip to Korea. And so last week, I got a phone call from my family in Korea, and I found out my grandmother passed away. And I grew up in Korea, or I lived there until I was about 8. And so I was pretty close to my grandparents. And so my grandfather asked me to come for the funeral. And so I ended up going for about 3 days. It was a very, very hectic and tiring trip. So it was good. But when I was there, when I got there after 12 hours of flight, like an hour and a half bus ride, went to straight to the hospital where they're having the funeral service, which is like a 3-day thing in Korean tradition. My grandfather took me aside and he told me that my dad was there. And the problem with that was I hadn't seen my dad for 17 years. I last saw him, a little bit before my 18th birthday. And so I am 35. And so 17 years plus. Last time I talked to him was the day after my 18th birthday. Okay? My parents got divorced. And during the time, what happened was our family found out that my dad had been cheating on my mom for about a couple years. And so a lot of things are happening. My dad's business failed. And so we were in the process of losing our house. And so it was just really, really intense period. And when I was growing up, my dad was my hero. I don't know. I think he's kind of like a typical Asian dad. He was a little bit more outgoing. But, you know, they don't say much. They're not very affectionate. But you just respect him a lot because you felt like he's a model. Like, he was very successful in what he was doing and things like that. And so I remember, I used to study, like, I don't study anymore, but I used to study so hard, like thinking, you know, my dad's still working late, I should study. I used to wake up like at 5 in the morning and go to school and study. Nerdy, right? I know. I got cooler. But this is my hero, right? And so when this happened, it just really devastated me. And so my mom, being the amazing woman that she was, she gave him a choice. I never seen, obviously, I can't even begin to imagine what she was feeling at that time. I remember her struggling so hard for 2 weeks. She just stayed in bed. Never seen my mom like that, and I hope that I never see her like that again. And after 2 weeks, somehow she came to a place of somewhat peace, and she was able to give my dad an opportunity to choose, you know, choose our family or the woman and just move on. She was willing to forget, right? But my dad chose the woman, and so I have not seen this guy for a long, long time. We just lost total connection, and it was one of the definitely things that impacted my life and the direction of my life, right? And so, this has been going on for 17 years. Now, 4 years ago, I went back to Korea because it was my grandfather's 80th birthday. And he's one of those traditional Asian grandfathers where sons matter a lot. He's very big on, like, you know, generations. He always takes me to our family graveyard and shows me our queen, ancestor, and all that. And this trip back, he wanted to give me, like, this ancestral history book. 13 books. This thing, no joke. So it took a lot of convincing by my aunt and my uncle to just talk some logic into me. I can't carry all that back. And so we were negotiating down to like 3 books. It was horrible. And so he's really, really big. So my dad is the oldest of his generation, male in his generation. I'm the oldest of my generation. And so my grandfather loves me. And so his last death wish before he passed away, because he has cancer right now, is to see his son, oldest son, that he has not seen. Because my dad has not even been in contact with my family in Korea, because I don't know what he was going through, right? And so we're hoping that one day we'll see him. So when I went there, I had no idea. My grandfather took me aside and he told me that my dad's there, and he had been there for a while, for about 3 months. And so I'm jet lagged, tired, all these emotions well up. I think in the midst of 17 years, there was a moment where I was really, really struggling with anger. There was a period where, my dream was just to see him one time, just punch him really hard in the face. You know? It was just, one time. And I think God started speaking to me. You know, it's impossible for you to keep going to church without hearing about forgiveness. It's impossible for you to keep going to church without the Spirit speaking to you in your heart. And just realize there are things in your heart that's going to impact the way you live now and the future. And so, I think God's been really working on me. I mean, there's different processes. I think there was one moment where I was thinking about my future family, me being a dad, me being a husband. And I think God just asked me, like, do you feel like you could be a good dad and good father with this still unresolved in your heart? And just really tough questions. I was like, I don't know. I think maybe, I don't know. It was really hard, right? And I think I came to a moment where I felt like I was ready to see him, you know? When I went 4 years ago, when we were talking about my dad, I wanted to see him. I think out of my whole family, I'm the most prepared. My brother, my sister, they're still dealing with it. My brother is the nicest person in the world, but when we talk about our dad, I mean, just, he gets all emotional. Only topic in the world he gets emotional, right? And so in that moment, I mean, it was just really, really difficult because so many things were going through. But, you know, I was there, he was there, and we were trying to talk normally in front of like 40 relatives. And I was just really difficult 4 days. At that moment, I realized, okay, you know what? There's still a lot of unresolved stuff in my heart. Things that I didn't think about, things that I didn't realize. But at the same time, I think there are a lot of resolved things in my heart as well. You know? It's a work in progress. And so I think the biggest encouragement for me, right, to you guys is this. God doesn't expect us to be perfect today. But God wants us to understand this has everything to do with who you are in Him and your relationship with Him and how you're going to live your life. And He wants you to realize it, accept it, be open to it. It's not just about Him, but I think He cares about us so much. And He has great things in store for us. But sometimes those things cannot come into our lives until these issues are dealt with. And He's just waiting. He's just waiting and waiting and waiting. And sometimes He waits so long that He says, you know what, I can't wait anymore. I need to move into your life because your life is messed up. And He moves in sometimes forceful ways where things are tough and it hurts more. But I think it's absolutely truth where you have to understand that this is very, very, very important to God. He's not asking you to be perfect. When I was leaving, my dad wanted to have a long conversation. And to be honest, I don't know. I was not ready. And so my grandfather actually talked to me for about an hour and a half and told me what he has been doing. Like, I have a half-sister. Like, okay, that's a lot for me to take in more, you know. And so he asked me, is it okay if we sit down and talk for a while? And I just told him, I'm not ready. I'm not sure if I could have a long conversation where you just share whatever you want to share. And so I told him, like, you know, at least I know you're here. At least I have a contact. And I think, you know, we're going to talk in the future. Now, inside, I was thinking to myself, God, you know, are you okay with that? Did you want me to do more? Should I have said more? He's my dad after all. Should I be more forgiving? And I think the answer was, you know, I think it was okay. Like, I don't think I did something horrible. I think God was okay with what I did. Now, if I don't talk to Him for the next 5 years, I think He's going to be talking to me a lot, right? But I think that just shows that God is fluid and He's working with us. And He understands that sometimes the pain is just so great that He doesn't expect you guys to be like that. I mean, that takes ultimate level of faith. He just wants your heart to be open. Doesn't want it to be closed and you to be open to the truth that unforgiveness is one of the most destructive things that you can have in your life. And so the challenge I have for you guys for the next few weeks is just whatever He's talking to you about, because I'm sure He's going to talk to you about something or someone or a group of people, that you will be open to His Spirit and that your heart will be available. And I can't really give you step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because I think for a lot of people it is different. But this is where God's cool, where you don't need me to tell you, But I think through people and through the Spirit, He'll tell you which steps you should take. And He's going to take you through a place of brokenness into healing and restoration, where you are once again mended. And once again, your connection with God is in just full flow, and you just feel like you're right there. And often, when we are in this process, I think for me, was the moment, one of the moments where I felt most close to Him. And so, I want to challenge each of us to think in that context. We'll talk more next week. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's see what God has in store for us as a church. I just want to thank You so much for this time. Thank You for all the people here. Lord, we lift up our hearts to You. And we just want to humbly ask, God, that we have something that is pure and right before You. And Lord, life is hard. I mean, who hasn't been hurt? I think all of us have. And sometimes very unjustly, and sometimes over and over. And the wound is deep. And I don't think You are demanding us to recognize that and come before You or be ashamed that we haven't dealt with it, Lord. Out of Your love and gentleness, out of Your care for us, You're whispering and You're telling us how much we are in need of this step of just healing and restoration in You. And so, Lord, often in subjects like this, our hearts are super closed. We don't think about it. We have total defense mechanisms, and our quick phrases are, I'm okay, it's not a big deal, I'm over it. You know, I don't think about it anymore. But Lord, we just want to humbly ask that God, in You, we just be able to just release and just open up our hearts and ask You to just show us if there are things and not be afraid. And trust, oh God, that You will take us step by step. Lord, we just want to ask, oh God, as a church. Churches have a lot of dramas. So Lord, I know a ton of churches that have issues with other churches and different groups of people, Lord. And so we just want to release our church. If there are things that we need to mend, let go of, be healed, Lord, that You bring healing upon our church so that we could be the church that You want us to be, Lord. So we could receive all the great blessings and future that You have for us. And so allow our hearts to be humbled, be ready, and to be able to listen and to follow Your commands. I want to thank You so much for all the people here. Just name and pray. Amen.
Time for offering.